All right, you take your Bibles and go to 2 Chronicles this morning. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, we're going to be looking at chapters 14, 15, and 16. We're really not going to be looking at all three chapters, but highlights of those things as I draw your attention to a few things through this passage. And so 2 Chronicles. And I guess you can start in chapter 14 as I go through a few things with you this morning. The question of the morning is this: on whose arms do you lean? On whose arms do you lean? There are different seasons of life. There are seasons in life. There were seasons in the early days that you can remember, maybe back to your childhood and the home that you grew up in. Well, that was a season that you had, and you lived in that season. And then there were your young adult years, and that was a different season of life. Maybe it was a transitional season that you went from your home life that you grew up into your own life with maybe a husband or a wife, and maybe later children. Maybe there was just a different avenue. You moved out of your home and started your own job. But it was a different season in life. Some of you have made it out of those seasons. And we have all groups represented here this morning, a different season. Some of you have made it out of that, the days of raising young children. And then the children have gone, and it's a new season that day that you wake up, and it's just you and your wife, or you and your husband, and it's a new season. It's a season I don't understand yet. That's certainly not where we're at in our home. But there's some of you that season has come, and you're there. And you've been living in that for a while. There's a season maybe where work ends and there's a retirement. And there's a life change there. And it's a new season now, and that you have to do different things, different opportunities to spend your time. Maybe there's another season that you've entered without your spouse. It's a new season that has brought change in a way of life. God tells us, and He gives us examples in the Scriptures, that there's different seasons of life. Sometimes the seasons are good seasons. They're prosperous seasons. They're seasons that we want to remember. Sometimes they're seasons that are dark, that we mourn over, that we cry over, that are difficult to remember. God gives us different seasons of life. The question that we're going to be facing this morning is, during the different seasons of life, whose arms are you leaning on during those times? 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Let's look at a few verses here. Now, let me catch you up to speed. Let me give you some background. You understand that the Kings and the Chronicles give us, it's kind of like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You remember the Gospels that we look at on Sunday evenings? Those books, called the Synoptic Gospels, give us the same story, but from a different perspective. We have Matthew's perspective as he speaks to the Jews, and he's got a Jewish perspective of the king. And we've got Mark's perspective, and we've got Luke's perspective, and we've got John's perspective, and every one of them has a different focus, a different way of doing things. They have a different personality. They're different, but they're reporting on the same story. And we get a full perspective of the life of Jesus through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, the Kings are the same time frame and give us the same stories, but from a different perspective. And so maybe you would read about a king in 1 Kings, and then you would read about a king in 2 Chronicles and be the same king, same events. But maybe in 1 Kings you read something a little bit different, gives a little bit different light, and then in Chronicles you hear another aspect that wasn't mentioned in 1 Kings. Well, that's the case. And so this morning we're going to be looking at one of the kings of Judah, and we're going to look at his life and how he did right and how he didn't do right at a certain time in his life, a different season in life. But I want to introduce you to a few thoughts from 1 Kings that give a few different facts that 2 Chronicles chapters 14, 15, 16 don't necessarily give us. And so you can turn to 1 Kings if you want to, but you don't need to. That would be 1 Kings chapter 15. But 1 Kings 15 would indicate to us the third king after David is removed. Okay, remember David? And he was a man and a king after God's own heart, right? David was a godly man in many different ways. Was David a human being like us? He was. Did David sin? David did sin. Did David have and carry consequences for that sin? He did. Was David a man after God's own heart? Yes, he was. And it's interesting because as you go through the kings of Israel and especially Judah, God would compare some of these kings with how David did. And this king did not walk after the ways in which his father David walked. And maybe this king did walk after the ways in which David walked. And the point that the writer is making, the point that God is making there is just, he's not saying that he was better than David, worse than David, was a sinner or wasn't a sinner, for we all know that all men are sinners, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of the kings, including David, was a sinner. They do wrong. But there were a few good kings in Judah that did walk after the ways of their father or grandfather or great-grandfather or great-great-great-grandfather and on down the line. This morning we're going to talk about King Asa. King Asa was the third removed from David. And so David and his sons and his grandsons and his great-grandsons and Asa. And so we have this man who his father, the second after David, only reigned 3 years. It was a short reign, and we get it. Now, how many kings in Israel? Now, you understand a little bit. Sunday morning, I don't give a lot of things like Sunday night, but this morning, let's review just a moment. You remember the kingdom was one, and it was unified, and then it was divided. And then there was kind of like the north and the south. And to the north, we had who? Under the divided kingdom, we have Israel. And in the south, we have Judah, okay? And so we're operating under the divided kingdom right now. And there was a set of kings in Israel, and there was a set of kings in Judah. There's something in particular about the kings in Israel. Now, you would think that, you know, if you don't know your Bible really well, you would think that there were a number of kings in Israel that did right. But the fact of the matter is that's not true. In fact, after the divided kingdom, how many kings did walk in a right manner? None of them. Every one of the kings of Israel was wicked. You say, but Pastor, what about King? Well, probably he was a king in Judah. Okay, maybe you got it confused. He would be a king of Judah. And there were a handful of kings in Judah that did do right like David did. There were good ones and there were bad ones. And you know what? Everybody needs to make a decision to do right no matter who their parent was. All the kids, listen to this. Kids, it doesn't matter. Kids, grandkids, whoever you are in here, it doesn't matter if your parents make mistakes. By the way, do parents make mistakes? Ken says no. No. Ken, I disagree with you. And so does the Bible. He's teasing. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. And of course, he was doing that just to be silly. Of course, we've all made mistakes. Every one of us. Just like David, we make mistakes. But remember this, and this is, you know, going back to the kids. You know, kids, you need to understand something, that just because your mom and dad or your grandma and grandpa make a mistake does not mean that you're okay to make those same mistakes. We're responsible to do right no matter what. Now, Asa doesn't have... Okay, you say, does Asa have a good heritage? Well, he does in looking at great-grandpa, or whatever great-grandpa he was. He does because David did walk with the Lord, but I'll tell you, his grandfather did not walk with the Lord, and his father did not walk with the Lord. But as you'll notice in 1 Kings chapter 15, that King Asa did walk with the Lord. He was the first in line. You know, you might be an individual here that you've gotten saved. Your parents did not walk with the Lord. Your grandparents did not walk with the Lord. Guess what? That doesn't mean that you can't walk with the Lord. Today, our society says that if grandma and grandpa didn't do right, and if mom and dad didn't do right, there's not much hope for you, and you're not going to do right. And I want to tell you something. You can do right. And no matter what mom and dad or grandma and grandpa did, you can decide to do right today. Every one of us can choose to do right. In fact, we ought to walk through life that way. Today, I'm going to do right. Today, I'm going to live for the Lord. It doesn't, you know, well, it does matter what happened yesterday, but you can't do anything about yesterday. Could Asa do anything about his father? No, not really. But King Asa can do what he knows to be right. And King Asa did. King Asa ruled for 41 years. I wish I could tell you that all 41 years were godly. Most of the years, King Asa walked with the Lord. For part of his rule, probably because his father only ruled for 3 short years, probably he started to help rule when he was much younger than normal. And King Asa helped his grandmother, Maaka, rule for a while, kind of a mother figure in the kingdom. She's ruling, and she was not a good woman. And later on in his reforms, he somehow disposed of her, at least leading, and he began to rule. But just to tell you a little bit, you know what, honestly, the things weren't shaped up for King Asa the way you would expect him to be successful. But King Asa was a man that walked after God and the ways of God. I want you to look at 2 Chronicles. Now I've given you a little bit of background that comes from 1 Kings chapter 15. But I want you to see some things. Again, one of Judah's better kings. There's just a handful of them. He wasn't perfect though. He made his mistakes. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Let's look at 8 verses right now. We're going to kind of piece our way through this a little bit, but let's look at this first thing. And then after we look at the first 8 verses, then I'm going to give you a first point that I want you to see. Very simple message this morning, but let's look at this. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Now pay attention to this story. There's a key thing that I just read there, that in his days the land was quiet 10 years. It's a good thing. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because We have sought the Lord our God. We have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields, drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Why is Asa building an army during times of quietness? Did you notice it said many times there that Asa lives during a time of peace and quietness? There were no wars. Isn't that a blessed thing? A blessed time where there was no war. They didn't have enemies that went after them and they went after them. They didn't. But we see here that as there was quiet, he was prudent and he made sure to take care of what God had given to him while he had an opportunity. And so this is what he did. We see here that this was a quiet time. We see here that in this time that that God did some things for him. He blessed him. And why? Because, you know, in his own words, we have sought the Lord our God, and we have sought him. And note, and in verse 7 again, notice, because we have sought the Lord our God, and we have sought him, and he, who's he? God, hath given us rest on every side. So Asa and his kingdom sought God. Do you see that? They sought God, and in turn, God gave them rest. So they sought the Lord, God gave them rest. That's what's going on in Asa's leadership here. Asa sought the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He took care of things. He got rid of things in his life that he was supposed to get rid of in Judah's life. He got rid of those things, and as a result, God gave them 10 years of quietness. All right. There's a season of life. My guess is in the early years of Asa, things weren't always restful. He's living in the kingdom. His grandmother is ruling. She's not doing things very well because dad didn't do things well and grandpa didn't do things well. And so there's idols. Jehovah is who is supposed to be worshipped and lived for, is not being worshipped and lived for. The nation is going after other things. They're doing their own things. They're doing what is right in their own eyes. Not like David did. And I would say that there were struggles. Even in Asa's life. Struggles. Well, when Asa had an opportunity, as he was in charge, then he recognized certain things, and he got rid of the false gods. He got rid of the elements of worship, and he dedicated and he devoted Judah's worship to God, Jehovah. And as a result of that, he experienced rest. All right, so we have looked at maybe an unrestful time as Asa grew up, but now we focus on this time where Asa is living in a time of rest. Do you think that Asa, in his memories, would have good memories of these 10 years? What do you think? Probably so. These were the good 10 years of his life that he could... You remember back, you know, as maybe he's sitting there talking to so-and-so or... something, you know, as he remembers. These certainly would be the years that Asa would remember. Because they were years of quietness, God's blessing. Now, some of you can remember back to some years like that. Oh, I remember the good old days when I lived back on the farm and we did this and we didn't have all the regulations in Pennsylvania like we have today. And we could do this and we could do that. And you know, you could think back to some, in your mind, good old days. We all have days. I say we all have them. I don't know your life. Maybe you can look back and say, Pastor, I don't remember good old days. But we all have days in which we look and say, you know what? God blessed. God really blessed during those days. Now, I've helped you maybe to remember back a little bit to a certain time in your life. Some of you, easy, you remembered those good old days. And some of you are having a harder time maybe remembering what good old days those were. But just imagine with me, question. Was it easy to lean on God's arms during those good old days? Now, maybe you say, Pastor, I didn't even know the Lord. Okay, imagine the fact that you did. Is it easy to lean on God's arms when days are quiet? What do you think? To tell you the truth, well, you can kind of go either way, because when times are easy, you can reject God. You can forget Him. But in a sense of, if you know what's right, in a certain sense, let me put it this way, it's easier to trust the Lord when times are quiet rather than when times are noisy. Does that make sense? It's easier to trust God. You know, you wake up. Okay, so you imagine yourselves waking up in one of those good old days. And you wake up and life is good and you've got your kids helping you out here and you're doing this and things are good and in your life. Things are good in your family's life. Things are good in your church's life. Things are good in your community's life. Things may be good in your state's life. Things are good in the country's life. Things are good maybe in the world. If there's been those days, but there's the good old days you look at, and while things are going your way, you've got a good job. Maybe you think of that. Maybe while there was money. Maybe it was while there was friendship and while you had people. Maybe it was while you had that family around you. Whatever constitutes those good old days, it's not that hard when the money's coming in, when the hours are there at work, when needs are being provided for and met, when friends are there and times are enjoyed, when life is a life of rest, that it's easy to stand up in church and say, trust in the Lord. You catch what I'm saying? Now, times for Asa for these 10 years were good times. They were times of rest. And I will tell you that Asa, in his life, is trusting God. And to take no blessing or credit away from Asa, praise the Lord that he was trusting the Lord during times of quietness. Because everybody doesn't trust the Lord in times of quietness. It's easy to go off and do your own thing. But here we have Asa leaning on God during quiet times. Can't we praise the Lord for different times in our lives that were quiet? In fact, right now, I want you to stop and think, isn't it a blessing those days that you have remembered? I praise the Lord for the times, the days that I grew up on the ranch in Wyoming. It was fun days. We had responsibilities, but we had a lot of opportunities to live the way we just could go out and have fun. My brother and I, we would do a lot of fun things together, and we enjoyed, whether it was the horses or the four-wheelers or whatever. We lived on a ranch that we had. I want to tell you something. Maybe you didn't grow up in that case, in that circumstance, but for me, I remember back, and those were good old days. Came home from school, and we just went out and had 360 acres to do what we wanted. Those were good old days. You know, we need to look back at those times, whatever it is for you, and we need to be thankful. Thankful for those times when there was a time of rest. Mom and Dad were there, and we lived this way. You know, I was recently talking with somebody, you know, saying, have you ever pictured yourself in a little child, you know, that honestly, life is just absolute fun. There's no responsibilities. Life is, you know, you're not making decisions for other family members, you're not making decisions at work, you're not making ministry decisions, and you wish you could kind of go back to that. You know, I remember when Melissa and I were first married, we were just reminiscing with our friends that were here this week, and talking about the days in which we first got married, and we thought that we were absolutely overwhelmed with busyness. You know, if we had a couple things in our schedule, we were like overloaded. I remember one time sitting in our apartment, Melissa and I, and we hung our heads, and we nodded our heads, and we're like, we're so busy. You know, by today's standard, you know, those you know, by today's standard, you know, that would be, you know, compared to, I can't compare it, to tell you the truth. Those busy days, you know, would be an incredible vacation to go back to. And some of you know what I'm talking about. I would feel like I didn't have anything to do. It's some of those days that God gives of rest that we need to be thankful for. Consider this in not just your home. Now, I want to be really careful because I understand that one of the amazing and wonderful things that our country stands for is a separation that we have with our government and our state and the politics and our church. And there's a blessing there. And I want to be careful with even the things that I say to not present any political things or anything like that. But I want to tell you something. There have been different, you know, all throughout the different presidents of the United States and the government, the things, there's been rough times, there's been good times. And I, you know, there might be some discrepancies in here, you know, whether you would consider this president good or this president bad or this party good and this party bad. And my point today is not to say this was good and this was bad. But I was talking with somebody this week that brought something to my mind that was very thought-provoking and interesting. You know, we don't know the way things are going to go in the future, but I can tell you this. We can be thankful for the times that we have had. Right? And I'm not putting it to any name or any person or anything like that. I'm going to say we need to be thankful for when we need to be thankful for the leaders in our past history, from president number one all the way up to president, you know, today. We need to thank the Lord for everyone, but we need to thank specifically for the Lord for the times, for the presidents that had some sort of an agenda, whether they were believers or not, that helped us to follow the things of the Lord, that put us in a way towards morality, that helped us to do things that help us as Christians and reinforce what we're doing as Christians. We need to be thankful for those men that have stood before us in times of what maybe as Christians we would call peace. We need to be thankful for those times of rest. Individually, family, corporately. You know, there's good days of Faith Bible Church that many of you can remember back to. Good days. Times when the building was bustling with people and there were all kinds of children's classes and kids in the youth and all this stuff. You know what? There were some good days. Days in which we need to be thankful for. And here's the point that I want you to see in verses 7 and 8. Where did those good days come from? Who did they come from? Verse 7 tells us where they came from. They came from God. Times of rest come from God. We have sought Him and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Leaning on God during quiet times. And I would say that Asa is going through quiet time now and he leans on God. He rests on Him. And it tells us that. He rests on God here. Praise the Lord that he rested on God. For us, we need to be thankful to the Lord for the times when it's easy to lean on Him because things are good. But remember, there's different seasons in life. All right, up to verse 8, Asa is going through an easy season, isn't he? It's times of quietness. And he's trusting the Lord, and he's singing, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And he's really, you know, it's easy to trust for Asa right now because it's quiet. But something changes in verse 9. Anytime you get something good going on and God is really blessing, there's going to be an attraction to it. Now, think of the divided kingdom. We have Israel, and what's going on up in Israel? Lots of good? Nope, not lots of good. But things right now in Judah are going really well. As a result, people are wanting to come down to Judah because God's blessing. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000. Okay, that little thing that I told you about Israel, that's coming up here. Skip that. Let's just look at verse 9. More blessing, though. There came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian. Okay, so now just think about this. We have a leader here, Zerah, and who is from Ethiopia. With a host of 1,000,300 chariots and came unto Marisha. Then Asa, verse 10, went out against him, and they set up a battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Marisha. And Asa cried unto the Lord. Okay, remember, here's the feat to what we're saying with his rest in the Lord and his trust in the Lord. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. Stop there before we look at verse 12. All right, it's easy to trust and rest in the Lord during quiet times. Now, verse 9 presents another season of Asa's life. And now we have this Ethiopian leader that comes down and he presents himself in the face of Judah. And what would you say now? Now there's an enemy. Now there's a battle. Now there's going to be a war. Is that so quiet now? Well, I would say in Asa's life, this is a noisy time. Now there's a time when there's lots going on, and you can tell by Asa's reaction in verse 11, he cried unto the Lord. Obviously, if he's crying to the Lord, he doesn't even know what to do. God, times have been easy, times have been good, you've been blessing, we've been obeying, and now this leader from Ethiopia has come up against us, and Lord, we need your help, what are we going to do? He cried unto the Lord and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. God, I know you can do this. Question, who's Asa leaning on right now? Even during a noisy time. Now it's not quiet like the last 10 years. Now there's a battle. And now we have Asa, yet he's still leaning on the everlasting arms, isn't he? He's still there because he says, Lord, it's going to be you. He doesn't go to, you know, Solomon's horses. He doesn't go to his chariots. Who does he go to? He goes to God. God, the time is not rest anymore. Now there's noise. Now we don't know what to do. And he goes to the one that can help him. God, we need you. He's leaning on God during the noisy times. Verse 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa. That's interesting. God went to battle for Asa. And he took care of the enemies. You know that God takes care of the enemies in our lives? And he'll do it. We've got to trust him. You see, but let me ask you a question. Okay, go to a noisy time. Try to think of a time in your life that was quiet and things were good and then all of a sudden noise came in. It was at that point that I found out about this relative's cancer. And then everything changed in your story. Question. Is it difficult to lean on the everlasting arms when it's noisy? Sometimes it is. It ought not be. But sometimes it is because we see everything coming at us. We see all this, and all of a sudden, like Peter, we look at the waves, right? Lord, it's noisy. Look at this wave and look at that wave. And sometimes it's difficult. And so Zerah brings this one, and yet we see Asa leaning on Jesus, leaning on God. He says, Lord, we need you. We need you. Would you help us? Lord, I know you can help us. God, you can deliver us. Won't you deliver us? And the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, and the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. All right. So we've had two different seasons with Asa. A season of quietness and peace, and Asa trusted the Lord. A season of noise, and Asa trusted the Lord. Take your Bibles really quickly and let's look at a couple verses. Really quick. We're going to have to do this very quick, but go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18. I got a lot of passages, but we're probably not going to look at them all, but just let's look at a few. Proverbs chapter 18 and look at verse 10. I mentioned that we needed to thank the Lord for times of rest, right? We need to thank the Lord for times of rest in our own lives, in our family's lives, in our church's life, in our nation's life. We need to thank the Lord for those times. You know, second of all, when we look at this during a noisy time, we need to thank the Lord for places of rest. Places of rest. Psalm chapter 8, or Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. God gives us a place of rest. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now, obviously, in this verse, verse 18, or chapter 18 and verse 10, that there are times of noise. Otherwise, why would we need to run anywhere? But I'll tell you what, in times of noise, there's a place that we can run to. And that's to the name of God. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, you probably know this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting drink. You know what? We can trust in God. We can trust in His name. You remember John chapter 14 and the first verse there? Jesus is ready to leave His disciples. I will tell you, they had a time of rest with Jesus, and now Jesus is leaving, and all of a sudden it gets really noisy in the disciples' lives. And what did Jesus tell the disciples in John chapter 14 verse 1? Peace I leave with a peace that the world doesn't know, but a peace that you can know. Folks, I want to tell you something. Whether we're in a season of noise or a season of rest, we need to keep leaning on the everlasting arms. We need to trust the Lord. We need to trust His name. And I could give you more passages of Scripture. Trust the Lord for a place of rest. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. As we lean on Him during quiet times, as we lean on Him during noisy times, God blesses us. Back to 2 Chronicles chapter, well, we could look at chapter 15 now, and we're not going to look much at chapter 15. We see a time of leaning on God during God's blessed times. So God's going to bless. And we're not going to look through it, but we see God's blessing in Asa's life and the things that God does. Verse 15 is a time where there's a lot of blessing. Blessing given to God's people. You see in verse 16 of chapter 15, okay, here This is when Asa removes his grandmother. He does more right. Verse 18 of chapter 15, and he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and the things he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels, and there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Okay, so more blessing. Obviously, he's trusting the Lord. Now, here's what I want to get to in the last few minutes of this. You know, Asa, for the most part in his life, he trusted the Lord. Times of rest, times of blessing, times of noise. He trusted the Lord. But another time comes. It was a time of testing. A time of testing. And what would Asa do with his leaning on the Lord? Chapter 16. And I want us to start in verse 1. In the 36th year. So, I told you 41 years. We're just about through these 41 years. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel. This is what I was telling you. Anytime there's goodness happening, people want to come to it. This is now Israel, people coming down. Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah, built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, the king of Judah. He's kind of like securing his borders here. Okay, that's what he's doing. No more entry, no more exiting. Keep you in here in Israel, keep those people down in Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus. Do you see what's going on here? Okay. Baasha, Israel, sends down and he secures borders and represents to King Asa what? More noise. I thought things were going well again. Now, here's this king of Israel. Now, typically in Asa's life, what would he have done? What would he have done in the previous 36 years? He would have said, God, I need you again. Here's another instance. God, I've got your arms to lean on. And I'm going to lean on you when we trust in you. But something interesting happens to him. Why? I don't know. But he started looking around at other avenues of help. He looked elsewhere. He looked to Syria. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, pagan leader. Why would he look to Ben-Hadad? Verse 3, and there is a league between me and thee. Is there, as there was between my father and thy father? Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And initially, this looks like it works. It actually does work. Because they join leagues. Look at verse, you know, and Ben-Hadad hearkened unto Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abelmaim and all the store cities in Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building of Ramah and left and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Did it work? Well, it did, kind of. It did. Verse 7, at the time of Hanani, the seer came to, this is his advisor, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied. Notice that word relied. You know that word relied? In the Hebrew is the word she'on. That word relied means to lean on. Because thou hast relied or leaned on the king of Syria and not relied or leaned on the Lord thy God, Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Now that is an interesting statement. He wasn't battling the king of Syria. Okay, there's a bigger blessing to get to here in just a little bit. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host and very many chariots and horsemen? Remember back, Asa, weren't they not a lot, very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely or leaned on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord went to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, wherein thou hast done foolishly, Asa. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Do you see the mistake that Asa made? Another noisy time came. And instead of leaning on the arms of his Father, on the arms of God, on the arms of Jesus, he looked other places. Folks, I want to tell you something. Looking around is dangerous. Can I tell you this? This is important in the day that we're living today, in 2020, in November. This is important today because when difficult times come, it's going to be easy to look around and see what we need for help. Other than God, I'll tell you that we'll fall short and we will live in day of war until the end. It's time that God's people take their eyes off of Ben-Hadad and put their eyes on God. It's time that people at Faith Bible Church stop worrying about the election and turn our eyes to God and start putting our faith and trust in Him. God, we lean on You and we need You. And we're going to do Your work. When we do that, God brings rest. And it might not be to our nation, but He'll bring rest to your soul. It's the only peace that I have to offer you today. It's the peace that Jesus brings to you. Peace I leave with you. He left it to those disciples and He leaves it with you. And that peace won't be real in fruition until Jesus Christ comes back. The biggest and best and closest thing that we can have is to keep our eyes focused on Him, looking to Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Asa relied on someone and something else to give him peace. What happens typically at a time like this when people feel like all hope is lost with certain things? I'll tell you, they go to everything and everyone else to get their fix, to fulfill the void inside of their lives. And when there is devastation like this, people will run rampant to whatever they can to fulfill the lusts of their flesh. Let me tell you something. That is what will happen when a nation comes without God and there's a void there that only God can fill. People will live their lives to the fullest to try to fill it up with a bunch of garbage that cannot fill it. And I say we're about ready to see more and more of this. We already have, but it's going to get worse. God's people need to put their faith and trust in Him and say, God, we're looking at You. We're leaning upon You. We're not going to go anywhere else. Isaiah chapter 34, really quick. Isaiah 34, really fast. Isaiah 34, verses 15, 16, and 17. Not Isaiah. Did I say Isaiah? Yes. Yeah, I looked at that verse. Those are not the right verses. Psalm 34, 15 to 17. We just referred to this passage on Wednesday night. Psalm 34, 15, 16, and 17. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Even verse 18, the Lord is nigh to them that are broke, of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Folks, we've got to keep our eyes fixed on Him. I did have an Isaiah passage. We're not going to turn there, but you can mark it down, look it up on your own time. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Well, to tell you something, we've got to lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. You know, what would have happened as we close? What would have happened? What did the scriptures tell us in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 would have happened if the people, if Asa would have leaned again like he used to for the past 30 some years, what if Asa would have leaned upon God at that point in time? What would have happened? What did it say? Somebody tell me, what would have happened? Not only would have he delivered him from Israel, but who else would he have given him? Syria as well. There were two enemies really that were there. Israel, Syria. Syria was a league with Israel. Redirected the league, got Syria with him. But God says, if you would have leaned on my arms, I'd have given you both. Folks, I want to tell you something. How many times do we go to the world or look to other places other than God, and we actually get something, and God says, you could have had everything. Tremendous. Tremendous things that we see. Why am I preaching this here today? Well, number one, this is what God told me to preach. Number two, we're living in a day. There's been rest, there's been noise. During rest and noise, we must keep leaning on the everlasting arms. We must. Because the moment we fail, and we go to the arm of flesh, what does the song say? The arm of flesh will fail you. And we lose. We've got to lean on the everlasting arms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Praise the Lord. We sang that song this morning. Whose arms are you going to lean on during times of struggle? And it could be very soon that there will be times of struggle. We need to lean on the everlasting arms. Father, would you help us to lean on your arms? Help us, like Asa in the beginning years, to go right back to you. Oh, Lord, we need your help. God, I pray that we as a church would be pleading for your help, that you would come, that you would deliver, that you would help, that you would aid. God, would you help our leadership in our country? God, would you help the future leadership in our country? God, would you help our congressmen to lead us and guide us in the way we ought to go? God, would you help our pastors? God, would you help our fathers and our mothers? God, would you help all the people in life? God, would you help us? Would you lead us and guide us? We need you. And Lord, on thee do we lean. We have nothing else but you. God, we lean upon you. Lord, would you give us that rest that you want us to have? That peace that you want us to have? God, would you help? God, thank you that you've made yourself available to come and deliver us as we trust in you. God, thank you for this Old Testament story that we have to lean on to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.